and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
I want us to arrest the spirit of grief knocking at our door. Any spirit of grief knocking at the door of this house, knocking at your door and the door of this nation, let it be interrupted and arrested right now. Open your mouth. Arrest it. Arrest it. Bind it. Bind it. Bind it. Arrest it. Arrest it. One more prayer. I want us to interrupt and overturn any advanced plan of the enemy where you are concerned, your family is concerned, where this house and where this nation is concerned. Any advanced plan, any ongoing plan of the enemy that has advanced, let it be interrupted by the power of Jesus' name and overturned. Put your hands together, pray that prayer. Push it, push it a little bit. Lift up your hands. Say from the throne room of the Father, from where all authority over heaven and earth and the underworld is derived, in the name of Jesus, I interrupt, I repeal any spoken word, any written curse, any written judgment in the form of pronouncement that has gone into effect against the glory of this house, against the honor of this house, against my blessings, my honor and my glory, to restrict and to limit. Let it be repealed in the name of Jesus. Repeal, repeal, repeal. Put your hands together. Repeal it. Repeal it. Repeal. Revoke. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I cancel any event and programming in the womb of time to bring pain, grief to any family among us in this house, connected to this house, home and abroad. We cancel it. We overturn that programming, that event. We deny the enemy. We strip the enemy of any advantage he has to hurt any family, to grieve any family, to lord it over any family connected to this house. As I put my hands together, I strip the enemy. I overturn it. Open your mouth. Declare it. Push it, push it, push it. Hallelujah. See, I command a breakthrough in tonight's service. I command the veil to be removed, destroyed, lifted over me and this house. See, I destroy the limit and the restriction over the house, over the pulpit, in the atmosphere. I command every weight and every burden to be lifted, lifted off, lifted off, lifted off. As I put my hands together, let weights, burdens break, lifted, break, be lifted, break, be lifted, break, 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 be lifted, break. Amen. We started a journey talking about the role and authority of fatherhood. We did establish that fathers have the power to execute life or death. And we did establish scriptures to defend our argument. We talked about the fact that fathers has power to free or rescue their children from captivity. Fathers have the authority to bless or to curse. Please get the tapes or the DVDs for the Sunday service. Fathers have the authority to bless or to curse. So keep that in mind. And then we did talk about the fact that fathers give identity to their children. That was the fourth point. Fathers have the authority to give identity to their children. Your name is your identity. The Bible said, as his name, so he is. And we talked about the fact that Adam named all the animals. God brought every beast of the field to Adam, and he named them, and whatsoever name he gave them, it was so. It was so. Amen. The fifth point that we did not emphasize, I will mention it and then we'll tackle some other thing, is the fact that the father is the head of the family. The father is the head of the family. And I need to say some things here. If you don't want somebody to be your head, don't marry them. Because if you marry a madman, your head will be crazy. And if you marry a righteous man, your head will be righteous. So be careful who you marry, my sister. No matter how good looking and handsome he is, make sure he has a good head and a good heart. Because if he has a sick head and a sick heart, he can speak in tongues, but you have a sick head. And a lot of women are in violation of divine ordinance. And the reason is because they didn't marry right. They married wrong. And violation is violation. God is not the respecter of persons. Come with me to Ephesians 5 and 23.
For the husband is the head of the wife.
The husband is equal with the wife. The husband and the wife are equal. You see, we can't change scripture. Scripture is scripture. And God is wiser than us. And God is very fair. So all these things where society is pushing this ideology that women must claim equality with men, it has never been an issue from the beginning until society started talking about it. There have never been an issue about who a woman is and who a man is. It's always been what it is. Simple as that. So there's nothing like we are all equal or we fight for equality. As much as men are not allowed by the same scripture to despise or look down on women, at the same time, because of different functions, there is the role of the woman and there is the role of the man. But in spirit, there is neither male or female. There is nothing like a man or a woman in the spirit. But because of earthly functions and responsibility, God has set it to be that way. Okay, so I don't want any woman going around trying to wrestle with men or do what men do. Let men be men and let women be women. You are not in competition with anybody. Amen? Is that a good principle? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11, 3.
But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ.
And the head of what?
Every man is Christ.
The head of?
Every man.
The head of?
Every man.
Is who?
Christ.
Say divine order.
Divine order.
It doesn't change. Go ahead.
And the head of the woman is the man.
The head of who?
The woman is the man.
Uh-huh.
And the head of Christ is God.
Simple. So Christ has a head. The man has a head. The woman has a head. It is non-negotiable. It is irrevocable. It is not subject to debate. It's not a parliamentary debate or discussion. It is what it is. Turn to somebody and say, it is what it is. Tell somebody it's not negotiable and it's not subject to debate. It's not subject to logic. It is what it is. Amen? So it's very important for every woman here and every man. And you see, if the man thinks he's the head of the woman, the Bible also says that Christ is the head of the man. So you, the man also, if you think you are lording it over the woman, Jesus has authority over you also. So if you think you can fool with the woman and go free, she can appeal to your head and your head will deal with you well. Simple. So I want women to realize that the fact that the man is your head don't mean that he can just do whatever he wants to do and get away, because he also has a head. And the head of the man is Christ. And the head of Christ is the Father himself. So this thing is layers of authority. Say layers of authority. And you can't change it. So I know a lot of the sisters are very excited and are in love. But you got to weigh the man you are going to marry. That when you marry him, you have given him authorization to be your head. And when you go against that, you are going against divine ordinance. Now, next week we will look at the areas of the authority of the man. Does the man have authority being the head of the wife over the salvation of the wife? We want to look at that, because some men are also using that. I'm your head, so you can't pray. I'm your head, you can't read the Bible. You're not going to church. You won't fast. Don't want you to have anything to do with God. I'm your head. We will deal with those kind of stupidness and error. And there are some women too, because the Bible says the man is the head, they too, they will submit to the man. When the man says, thou shalt kill, they go and kill, because it's my head. That's not what it means. We want to have this thing in the right understanding, so you know that even though the man is your head, it doesn't authorize him to override your will, because God even does not override your will. So I want to see the areas of the extent to which the man authority goes. Amen. In the light of scripture, we'll look at that. But let's go on. We want to look at how we respond to authority in life. How we respond to authority, how we respond to life. And most people, their struggle and difficulties and challenges in life began from the womb, or has to do with their salvation, foundation and upbringing. Who trained them, who raised them up, who laid hands on them, who your father is and who your mother is. They have serious consequences. Even though you might be born again, it has a lot of consequences, and we want to address some of these things. See, I hear you. So we want to begin with Psalm 11, verse 3. Psalm 11, verse 3.
If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
So the first thing is your foundation. Anything that will last. When you see people building, the depths of the building determine the heights of the building. When you see them put some wall around a huge land, and they are in there for a long time, you don't see anything, but they are working. They are digging and digging and digging and digging. The depths of that building will tell you the heights of the building. Now, if the foundation is weak and the foundation is not laid well, it can't stand the test of time, the wind, the storm, flood. When it rains heavy and there is flood, a lot of buildings in certain areas of town will collapse or go down. And the reason is because the foundation was not done well, or it wasn't solid, it was weak. So a lot of things that happen to all of us in life has a lot to do with our foundation. Our foundation. Turn to somebody and ask them, how strong is your foundation? See, the foundation is everything. If the foundation is wrong, it doesn't matter what you build upon the house, it can't stand. The Bible said, I will liken you to a man that heard my word and did my word, or was a doer of the word, or obey my word, and to one that heard the word and did not act upon the word. One heard the word and built upon the rock. And the Bible said, he dug into the rock and he built upon the rock. That takes time. It takes long suffering. Today, this generation is instant generation. We want instant word, instant prayer, instant teaching, everything instant. You know, there are people who think that Sunday morning when they come to church for 2-3 hours is too long. It's too long, because they were brought up from churches where the person standing there read his sermon, he's preaching his letter. Everything is letter. There is no inspiration. There is no oil, there is no spirit, there is no depths. There's no rivers of living water flowing out of them. So they come in and within 15, 30 minutes, they can give you a sermon and let you go home. So they come to churches like this that are spirit-filled churches where we confront things, where we allow the spirit to guide us and to lead us. And they have issues. They give all the week, they give it to work and pursuit of money. And Sunday morning, they can't give God 2-3 hours. It's too long. And they'll criticize you and criticize your sermon. Subject everything you say to logic and reasoning. And it all has to do with their foundation. They were born in certain churches where the word of God had no preeminence. And the Holy Spirit don't have preeminence and liberty to give expression to the word. So they grow up with that kind of negative and wrong foundation, and they bring it to spirit-filled churches like this. So they question everything. They question giving, they question tithes, they question first fruit, they question everything because they are not taught the word. So they grow up in error because they had a wrong foundation, so they believe wrongly. They have wrong beliefs. And even though they are born again, they are still working with the old expiring credit card. A credit card that has expired. They are still using it. You go to ShopRite and buy a lot of things, and you go to the counter to pay, and you put the credit card there, and they tell you your credit card has expired. You have to send everything back. You have a credit card, but you can't buy because it has expired. And that is the way a lot of Christians are in the church. They are operating, they are born again, but their mind is not renewed. So they are working with wrong belief systems. Foundation. The foundation is everything. If your foundation is wrong, it affects everything. And it doesn't matter the number of teachings we give to you. You will always believe wrongly because your foundation is wrong. You have to be rewired. You have to be rewired so that you can believe right, thinking right. As a man thinketh, so he is. Jeremiah 1:5.
Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Mm-hmm. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.
So it has to do with foundation. This is God's determination and judicial counsel and executive decision of a young prophet. Jeremiah, his destiny was determined, defined in the mother's womb before he came forth. And he became exactly what he was designed and programmed to become. When Anna met the Lord and prayed and made a vow to God that if you give me a man child, I will give him to you and he will become a prophet. Samuel was not part of the deal. Elkanah was not part of the deal. It was between the mother and God. And when Samuel came forth, he became exactly what the mother and God agreed for him to become. His destiny was determined over his head before he came forth. So foundations and beginnings of everyone's life is very important. Most people who the enemy tried to abort them in their mother's womb before they came forth, when they are born, most times you see that there is always these abortive spirits trying to fight them until they ground that spirit. Say in the name of Jesus, I ground every messenger of Satan, any abortive spirit that came after me in my mother's womb that is still pursuing me, be grounded in the name of Jesus. Be arrested, and I strip and deny you of your powers in the name of Jesus. It all has to do with the beginning. Say the beginning. It always goes back to the beginning. Amen. See, I hear you. Genesis 25 and 23.
And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger.
This is also a determination that came from the womb that had a lot of implications or consequences that determined what they all became. The destiny or the life of Esau, that of Jacob, had nothing to do with father or mother's choice or decision or their choice as individuals. It was God's own determination and decision right in their mother's womb before they came forth. It always goes back to the beginning. And there are so many other scriptures you'll see later as we go along that many of the things that happen to all of us in life goes back to our beginning. Most times you find out that a woman is blessed, maybe have two daughters and one's a boy, a son. She gets pregnant, excited, expecting a boy, goes to the hospital and she's told that after the scan test you have another girl coming. She doesn't resent the child, but she's disappointed. That disappointment registers in the subconsciousness of the child, rejection. And the child is born a girl, but in the subconsciousness, she sees herself as a boy. And if it's not dealt with by speaking to the subconsciousness and reversing that programming, she will grow up always acting like a boy, hanging with boys. And at a point we'll say that I feel like I am a boy trapped in a woman's body. And if it is not dealt with, eventually she goes to perform a surgery. And I've met many like they go and do surgery and change their organs to become the original wish and desire of their mother before they came into the womb and when they were in the womb. Very, very serious. Foundations. And between today and next week, we want to attack foundational issues, foundational errors. We want to reverse anything in your foundation that has given the enemy an advantage over your future and what you are becoming. Let's move on quickly. Let's look at some other scriptures. We want to check on who your mother is and who your father is. Ezekiel 16, 1 to 3. Who your mother is important. Who your father also is important. These things are necessary for my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Maintenance of ignorance is the advantage of your enemy. The enemy always wants to keep us ignorant because ignorant is darkness. The weakness of darkness is the appearance of light. And the word is light. All things was made by the word. And there was nothing made that was made without the word. And the word took flesh and dwelt among us. For in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And all things was made by the word, and nothing was made or created that was without the word. So the word is superior. The word must have preeminence in everything. And the word is light. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding to the simple. In thy light shall we see light. So the enemy don't want you to have light. He wants you to stay in the darkness. He wants to keep us ignorant. But in the name of the Lord Jesus, we refuse to be ignorant. We refuse to stay in the dark. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead. Ezekiel 16, 1 to 3.
Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan.
Watch that, oh. And that word Jerusalem, it was controlled by a group of people before it became Jerusalem. And it was David that went in there and killed the Jebusites and took over that land, and the name was changed. But before then, it was the lame and the blind that controlled Jerusalem. Can you imagine the lame and the blind controlling a whole city and a community and a territory? And they wouldn't let anybody in there. Nobody could go in there until David went in there and drove them out and took the land. In the name of the Lord Jesus, may the blind and the lame among us that are blocking us be uprooted and overthrown. We evict the blind and the lame in the name of Jesus Christ. It's amazing how the blind and the lame can occupy a territory and keep everybody from coming in. Very scary. Go ahead.
Thy father was an Amorite.
Thy father was an Amorite.
And thy mother a Hittite.
You see, the Amorites were the offspring of the Canaanites. Now remember that Canaan was cursed. Canaan was cursed by his grandfather. Canaan was the son of Ham, who uncovered his father's nakedness. And when the father rose up from his drunkenness, he did not curse Ham, he cursed Canaan and said, "Curse be Canaan." And Canaan gave birth to a son. And therefore, the same curse that Canaan was under came upon his son. Thy father was an Ammonite. Go ahead.
And thy mother a Hittite.
You see, the Hittites are warmongers. They are fighters. They like picking up a fight with everybody. They will declare war on you when there is no reason and a cause for war. They will fight you. So imagine your father is under a curse and your mother is a warmonger. Double trouble. Your father is carrying a curse which is fighting you. Then your mother too is a warmonger. There are certain individuals and they like fight too. They fight when there is no reason for fight. And they are born again. I'm not talking about anybody. Tell somebody, I know you are not the one I'm talking to. But there are people who just love to fight. And they fight for no reason. Your father is an Ammonite. And your mother is a Hittite. Turn to someone and say, who is your mother? And turn to someone and say, who is your father? Of which of the tribe of Israel do you come from? Which of the tribes? Like mother, like father. It's a very serious thing. Very, very serious. So you can resent your father, you can resent your mother, but that is not the answer. You have to check and attack and deal with the foundation of the DNA of your father and the DNA of your mother. You have to examine yourself and look at yourself and stand in the mirror of the word of God and see how much of my father's DNA is working in me, how much of my mother's bloodline DNA is in me and is affecting me negatively. Because there is the positive and there is the negative side. There are generational curses, but there are also generational blessings. So we don't want to dwell on the generational curses alone because there are also generational blessings. It's the generational curses that blocks the manifestation of the blessing. When the curse is repealed, then the blessings can come forth. Go ahead. Receive generational blessings today. We are through with verse 3, eh? Okay, let's move on. Who raised you up? It's very important. 2 Kings 3:11. Turn to someone and say, who raised you up? Who raised you up? Whoever raised you up has influence over you. Whoever raised you up has influence over your upbringing and the way you develop or the way you grow up or the way you perceive or the way you believe. The way you believe determines how you see things and how you think, and it will also determine the choices and the decisions you make in life, and the choices and the decisions you make in life will determine the outcome of your life. But it all has to do with who raised you up, who influenced you, where did you come from, who coached you. Go ahead.
But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah.
The king was looking for a prophet. And he was inquiring of his folks, is there no prophet in town? And one of his men said, there is one. He was trained, influenced, coached, brought up by Elijah. He's the son of Elijah. He poured water on him. You can trust him. Who coached you? Who trained you? Who brought you out? It's important. And we have to be very careful of who is influencing our kids. I was just talking to them about changing some things in our Sunday school, our youth, pre-adult and everything, because especially before our children go to secondary school and universities, if we don't indoctrinate them like the Jews and other religions do, and we just leave them ayalolo and yenyemi, and we leave them to be walking like that, we will lose them when they go to secondary school and university with the belief systems of others. So we need to indoctrinate them and empower them that it doesn't matter where they go, they see themselves as the light of the place, as the salt of the earth, and as ambassadors of Christ. 1 Kings 16:31.
And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him.
His father didn't do right. His father's influence affected his decision about who he married. Abraham was attracted to fair women. Opekoko, the friend of God, God's friend, Abraham. Nyami Adamfo, Nyumonyanyu. Talk to God face to face. He liked red, fair women. Abraham. Then Isaac also had the same virus. It was a virus. He had an infection for fair women. Then Jacob. Same problem. The thing went to David, Bathsheba. Then when David's son Solomon came, he filled the cup and he said, "Thou art the fairest." Hey, look at the songs of Solomon. That he made songs, special music out of the virus. We'll look at that, not today. It's a very, very serious thing. Some of you don't even know why you like the things you like. And I tell you why. It is biologically proven that the subconsciousness commands the consciousness. So what am I saying? Sometimes you fast, you pray. In tongues, you've prayed, you fasted, you are high in the spirit. Then before you realize, you hear a song coming up in you, "Killing Me Softly." So I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Where is that song coming from? Subconsciousness. It's been there, hiding. Okwemi. I'm telling you, strange songs, they come from nowhere. It hasn't been dealt with. It's still lingering. You need to erase it out of the subconsciousness. So the son ended up marrying Jezebel. There was something in his father's DNA that compelled him to be attracted to a fetish priest's daughter, to a daughter of a warlock. There was just something about him that was attracted to women with that kind of a background. I know women in this church. They see a good brother and I vouch for the brother and they say, "Papa, I don't want him. I don't like him. Pray for me." And I say, "What kind do you want?" "That one." And when you check that one, it's a shegelele. And it doesn't matter what you say. It's that one. I've seen even brothers and sisters, they divorce. And they are attracted to the same man and the same woman. You know what they're attracted to? They're attracted to the same spirit that they married in a different body. Maybe the first one was short, but this one is tall. But it's the same spirit that was in the short one that is in the tall one. But it's the virus in them that causes them to be attracted to that thing. Some of you brothers, you like a particular shape of women. And if you go back, your father had the same sickness and he wasn't born again. You are born again, but you fall for the same thing. It's the same virus and DNA that is working you. You sisters, the same thing. You think I don't watch? I watch a lot. I check a lot of things. You see me like, I research, I check things, I ask questions, I dig. So when you hear me talking like this, I'm being general. I don't want to be specific. But there are a lot of people here like that. He married Jezebel because of who his father was. Let's go ahead. I'll show you something. Come. Somebody say deep. 2 Kings 8:18. 2 Kings 8:18.
And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Go ahead, read more. Read it again and then go to the next.
And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab.
You see, Ahab didn't do right, though. He didn't do right. And because of who his father was, and because of who he also was, his sons that came after him followed that same path. Now, I know that we are born again. This is where the issue is, okay? The problem of being born again and thinking that because you are born again, everything is new. It's not true. Deliverance authority. When you get born again, it's your spirit that is born again. Your soul is the same. Your body is the same. Your spirit is new, but your mind is still old. And so until you renew your mind, like renew your credit card, until you renew your mind, even though you are born again, you still have the old mentality. So your spirit is saved. Your soul is being saved by the renewing of your mind. Constantly, you got to get the word. You have to get the word of God into you to renew your mind over and over again. That means you submit yourself and your choices or decisions in life to what Scripture says and allow Scripture and the Holy Spirit to drive you. Now, tell somebody, it is not easy to be a Christian. It is impossible to be a Christian. I'll tell you why. Tell somebody, it's not easy to be a Christian. It's impossible to be a Christian. Let me tell you why it's impossible to be a Christian, okay? Don't look at me with that look, eh? Some of you, when you don't understand something, you don't, hey, you want to fight. Your mother was a Hittite. Now, listen. It is impossible to be a Christian when you are doing it in the natural. You can't do it. You can't be a Christian as a human being. It's difficult to put it in the context that you want me to put in, but I'm giving it to you. See, I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Trying to gain the understanding of what it means to be a human. See, I'm a spirit. I live in a body. I have a soul. And I am trying to understand what it means to be human. Now, it will come. I'm trying to say something, but it's not connected. It will come. Somebody lift up and say, God is here. Say, God is here. Say, I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Attempting to have a human experience rather than believing that I'm a human being trying to have a spiritual experience. Okay, now let me explain to you. You are not a human being trying to become spiritual. You are a spirit trying to have a human experience. Let me say it again. You are not a human being trying to have a spiritual experience. You are a spirit being. You live in a body. You have a soul trying to have a human experience. Say it with me. Say, I am a human. I'm a spirit. I live in a body. I have a soul. And I'm trying to have a human experience. Say it again. Say, I'm a spirit. I live in a body. I have a soul. Trying to have a human experience. Say, I am not a human being trying to have a spiritual experience. I am a spirit living in a body. Have a soul. Try to have a human experience. That is the only way you can be an effective Christian. That's the only way. You cannot be a Christian as a human being trying to use the efforts of flesh and blood. It won't work. It will frustrate you. But you got to renew your thinking, your mind, and your belief system, understanding that you are a spirit. You live in a body. You have a soul trying to have a human experience rather than believing that you are a human being and you are trying to become spiritual. You are already a spirit. Tell somebody, you are already a spirit. Do you know when they say somebody has died, what happens? When the spirit departs, you are dead. It's your spirit that drives you. It's your spirit that controls the soul and the body. And the devil's trick is to get you and I to believe that we are human beings and that we are not spirits. And we should live as human beings. And if the Bible said, if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the demands of the flesh. If you walk in the spirit, you will live. But if you walk in the flesh, you will die. You are not a human being. Turn to somebody and say, I've been trying to tell you all this time that you are not a human being. You are not a human being. You are a spirit. Some of you, the Ammonite and the Hittite anointing in you want to fight me. But you are not a human being. You are a spirit. You see, the witches and the warlocks, they understand what I'm telling you better than you and I. That's why they have advantage over human beings. Because we think as human beings, we act as human beings. Listen to what Paul said. He said, though we walk in the flesh, we war not after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, who is a spirit, to the pulling down of strongholds. You are not a human being. You are a spirit. Most times the bishop, everybody around me, after some number of hours, everybody is tired. They all get tired. Bishop Oboda, ask him, all of them, they get tired. The only two people that don't get tired is me and Bishop Nyako. And they look at us. Sometimes I see everybody is asleep. See them sleeping in the couch. They are sleeping. And I look at them and say, why are they sleeping? They are asleep. You know why? They have allowed their body to command and to detect and to drive. I have learned how to let my spirit command my body. Other than that, the body profited nothing. This body is already condemned. Your body is already condemned. It's not going to take you anywhere. And I'm not saying you shouldn't sleep. I sleep. And I have something that tells me my time to go to bed, how many hours I need. I sleep. I'm not fool. I take very good care of myself. I'm not stupid. I'm very smart. Don't underestimate me. I know something. I know something. But I don't let my flesh dictate. Because the flesh, this flesh, it profited nothing. Jesus said, the flesh killeth, but the spirit giveth life. You are not a human being. You're a spirit. That is the only way you can overcome your father's DNA. I'm telling you. I was telling somebody today, I said, anytime you react by provocation, whoever provoked you to react has power over you. You hear what I said? Number two, God does not react. Anyone, anything that provokes you to react has power over you. If you can refuse to react, you have mastered it. You are a master. If you take decisions based on what you see, whatever you see has power over you. If you get hungry because you see food on television, or you saw vanilla ice cream, strawberry, and suddenly you develop the appetite for it, you are weak. If you are even married and you see a man and a wife having sex, and suddenly you develop the appetite to have sex, it has power over you. And you go have sex with your husband or your wife, it has power over you. You haven't mastered it. But if you can see it, walk away from it and see your husband or your wife naked or in bed and you don't move, you hold yourself together, then you've mastered it. Anybody that can walk away from what you have need of, you've mastered it. And you see, the reason why a lot of people don't have money, you haven't mastered money. You see, you can't command your master. You can only command your servant. And you command what you have mastered. You can't have money if you haven't mastered money. You can't have money when money has you. That's why some of you, when it comes to offerings, you're always holding back. You are giving pennies, little pennies, and you hold back. Money has you. Whatever you can't give to God is your master. Whatever you can't give to God has mastered you. And if you want to be a master over something, you have to be without it. When you are without it and you can still make it without it, you've mastered it. Anything you can't do without is your master. I can't do without God. I can't do without the oil of God. I can't do without the anointing. But I can do without some things. If you are married and you can't do without your husband, hear me, you can't do without your husband. You are so dependent on your husband that you can't function without your husband. You need deliverance. And there are men who can't function without their wives. They can't. They can't clean the bedroom. I mean, there are some men, and I've warned some brothers, the way they are filthy, they can't clean, and they want to marry so the man can, the woman can come. Women are not cleaners. If you want somebody to clean your house, get a cleaner, company. Let them clean it. Women are not cleaners. And some of you brothers, if the sisters go to your house and see the way your house is dirty, and you can't keep yourself, and the way you smell and stink, all you have is anointing and spiritual gifts. Outside of spiritual gifts, you are useless, good for nothing. And you think sisters, they marry spirits? They don't marry spirits, they marry human beings. Okay, let me move away. I'm fighting for the women now. Hallelujah. All right, let's move on. Let's get away from all of this. 2 Chronicles 23 and 11. 2 Chronicles 23 and 11.
Then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada, the king's son, anointed him and said, God save the king.
Then somebody said, my father is a king. Tell somebody, I'm just like my father. Tell somebody else, like father, like son. You see, so there is the negative and the positive aspect of all of us. You hear what I said? If your father is an elephant, there's no way you can grow and be a grasshopper. It's not possible. It can't happen. If your father is elephant, you don't have to pray to be big. You'll be big. Tell somebody, I will be big. I'm talking about being big because my heavenly father is big. That DNA is in you. If your father is king, you see Prince Charles, the mother is a queen. I saw him today holding the mother's hand. The old lady is 90 something, and she's still going on strong. And he's holding the hand of the mom. And I was telling my children the other day, I said, let me tell you something. There is nothing like freedom. I want to be free. I want to have fun. I want to chill. I said, freedom is given to the masses, but royalty is restricted and managed. And that's why you see masses going to prison and royalty don't go to prison because they are not given the chance and the opportunity to misbehave and to break the law and to go in violation of the law to go to prison. They are managed, they are controlled, they are restricted, but the masses are given freedom to misbehave. There is nothing like you want to chill and have fun. If you are a Nazarite, you can't do what others do. Turn to somebody and say, you are a Nazarite. You can't do what others do. Tell somebody, you are a son of a king. Say, your father is a king. Your mother is a queen. And it is in your DNA to become a king and a queen. You are not a non-entity. You are somebody. You are going somewhere. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9.
And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses.
Joshua was full of what?
The spirit of wisdom.
Can somebody talk to me? Joshua was full of what? Because?
Moses laid.
Because?
Moses laid his
because?
Moses laid his hands on him.
Listen. He wasn't born full of the spirit of wisdom. But he was full of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. Why? Because Moses had laid hands. Say transferring of spirit. Say impartation of the spirit of wisdom by the laying on of hands. Turn to someone and say, who laid hands upon you? To another person, say, who has laid hands on you? It's very important. Who laid hands on you? I don't let anybody just lay hands on me, and I don't allow anybody to lay hands on my children, because laying on of hands is very, very serious. When people put their hands on your head, whatever they carry and what is in them can come to you. if they carry a negative current and a negative energy, they can impact it. And if they carry a positive current and energy, the same also can come to you. So laying off of hands is very important. And all those things have consequences and effect. I've seen people who are not correct spiritually, diviners, sorcerers. When they see little babies with great destinies and future, they can lay hands on them and impact something or interfere with their process and greatness and what they become. And I'm saying that to those of you who have children, babies. You expose your pregnancy, you put it online. This, what do you call, generation Yasiko. You put your pregnancy online, you take pictures. When the baby comes, you put the baby online, showing everybody who the baby is, everything about the baby. I just look at them and say, they don't get it. You know, they said that the animal that knows how to hide in the forest lives long. Why? The hunters are looking for you, and you are selling yourself. They're already looking for you. Then to somebody, hide, hide. You have to hide. 2 Timothy 1:16.
Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands.
Again.
Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands.
The gift of God. Indeed. You know, when hands are laid upon you, you receive impartation of gifting, of anointing. That's why I don't just lay hands on anybody. Because you see, if the person you are laying hands upon has not been processed, gold is not gold until it's tested by fire. If the person has not been tested and tried by fire, and the character of the person hasn't been refined and dealt with, and you place and you see a gift is a gift. You see a Christmas tree, you can put gifts on a Christmas tree and everybody can come and pick it. But a tree does not bear fruit overnight. You see the difference between a gift on a Christmas tree and a tree that bears fruit. So for a tree to bear fruit, it's a process. It takes time. A gift, you can just receive it for not working for it. So there are people, that's why you see a lot of people with the prophetic having all kinds of interesting characters. Because you can receive the gift. You don't have to have character to have a prophetic gift or the ability to see. It's a gift. You can receive it. So we have to be very careful who you impact and lay hands upon. Especially when people bring money and bring gifts and things and kneel down, say, pray. I'll stop those things. I don't lay hands anymore. Some people, when they come, I just put the anointing bottle on their head. Bishop will tell you. I put the anointing bottle or the microphone on their head. Put the microphone on their head like this. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't lay hands on people like that anymore. Because you can lay hands on people who don't have character and impact gift in them. And they will go operating the gift. But when the gift does not match the character, it's a false balance. And when people rise up in ranks or they come into leadership and authority, promotion, success, without going through the process, they become a disaster and a problem. And that's how a lot of people can betray leadership. Have all kinds of, you can't command them. They don't want to be commanded. Nobody can advise them. If you are an individual who nobody can advise you, you are possessed. I'm telling you, you have a wrong spirit. Because if you have the right spirit, you'll be subject to authority. I don't want to go deep into the Hittite and the Amorites because there are some deep things there. Okay, but I don't want to get into all that because it will look like I'm picking on some people. I'm not picking on anybody. But you study it for yourself. You will see. If your father is under a curse, you know. I was dealing with a situation, Bishop Bodai knows about it. And the husband and the wife came to my office in this church. And they were fighting. And I listened to both sides. And I told the woman that, listen, you didn't do right. Okay, so just apologize. Let's shut this thing. He said, me, I can't say I'm sorry. I talk. The woman said, I can't apologize. I've never apologized before. And I said, so you are willing to let this man walk? And she said, I don't care. If he wants to go, he can go. Why? I'm not going to apologize. So the man walked. He's in this church. He walked. And I also decided to stay out of it. I don't want to touch it. That is not the spirit of God. So I started checking something. The mother, the grandmother, the sisters, the aunties is the same spirit. And I said, oh, her mother is a Hittite. She's born again. She's speaking in tongues, but the mother is a Hittite. She hasn't moved away from the flesh and from the soul to let the Spirit of God drive her. She has allowed the influence of her past, upbringing, foundation to determine who she has become. He said, I can't apologize. He said, Papa, with all respect, I can't apologize. So I said, okay, girl, don't apologize. Don't do it. I said, let us pray. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, this matter is in your hands. Amen. A very short prayer. Genesis 48, 13 and 14. And I want us to take some few minutes and pray.
And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward...
Ephraim was the youngest.
Yeah.
That is where Joshua came from. Joshua came from the line of Ephraim.
Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand. And Manasseh in his left hand towards...
Manasseh was the eldest.
Towards Israel's right hand. And he brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn.
We'll go into this whole thing about why this happened. Same thing happened to Jacob. It continued in the bloodline. And by the laying of hands, he reversed the rules. This laying of hands is a very powerful thing. It's very, very powerful. When hands are laid on you by spiritual gurus, by fathers in the Lord who know what they are doing, they can reverse some things in your DNA. Listen, the Bible says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I was praying for somebody, and when I lay hands, I was going to say, in the name of Jesus, and the Spirit said, don't say anything. You were not told to pray. The Bible says, you shall lay hands and they shall recover. He did not say, you shall pray. Check it. Look at it. Check it. Let the Bible scholars look at it right now. Mark 16. Read it.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongue. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
You see? They shall lay hands on the sick and pray. But they shall what? And the sick shall
recover.
So there is something about laying off of hands. When the hand is anointed, when they touch you, something happens. I've touched a lot of people sick, weary. Just touch them without saying anything. And just by the touch, something happened. And I didn't know. And they'll tell me later, Papa, you remember when you tapped my shoulder? I was in a lot of pain and they disappeared. And I said, that's that scripture here. They shall lay hands on the sick. Stand on your feet.